Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an acaso, where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epha Emmanuel. As we behold God's Word today, we become the true reflection of His Word. You will be blessed.
Spirit, you draw us into deeper realms of encounters, and you make that which is hidden bare to us. Grant us access to the secrets, to the hidden things that will cause for manifestation, and help us to maximize the potential of the season you brought us into. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Come on, who is excited? Can you shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are set for an encounter, can you shout amen? Amen. We make an entrance from Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I'll be reading it out for us. Acts chapter 10 and in verse 38. The Bible said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. I began sharing with us on Sunday, as God gave grace and made utterance available, that there are two principal assignments that the Holy Ghost initiates in the life of a believer. That at salvation, every one of us received the Spirit of God. At salvation, when you come out and say, Lord Jesus, man of God, you are highly welcome. Such an honor to have you here. Please, you can sit down there. Somebody should lead him. Can we salute God's choice vessel? You are highly welcome, sir. Please, you may be seated. And so, there are two principal initiatives the Holy Ghost sets into motion, sets into work, to achieve in the life of the believer. The moment you accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, what you actually accepted is something that was lost inside the first Adam, because I was trying to share this on Sunday, that in the context of the design of man, man was not alive because he could breathe. Man was not alive because he could actually relate with the physical universe. It is not his ability to move. It's not the signs and the characteristics of living things that made man alive. It's not because he could reproduce. It's not because he could grow. It's not because he could actually increase in size. Those are not the metrics. They are not the parameter that God used to describe man as alive. It was the breath of the Almighty that entered into man that God used to quicken what God called life inside man. And I showed us on Sunday that the only proof to these things I am actually advancing is that God told man that the day you eat of this tree, you will die. And God is not a man that he can lie. So when man ate of the tree, he still went on to live for 930 years. Meaning that the breath that is on his nostrils and the capacity to continue to walk around within time is not what God called life. The particular thing God described as life, first, is a product of fellowship. It's a product of life with God, having the capacity to share the same life God has, because it was impacted upon us by the breath of the Almighty. I made reference to Job chapter 32 verse 8. The Bible says there is a spirit in man. and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. I showed us that it is very easy to advance these things when you look at the way man was created in Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 7. I showed us the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, comma, meaning that a process has been established. A process has been accomplished. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and then the Lord God breathed into the nostrils of that man that is of the dust of the ground, and that man became a living soul. For the sake of what we have established on Sunday, I don't think I need to go back to all of those explanations. If you didn't get that point, please make reference to the message of Sunday. We're trying to establish on Sunday that as at this point where the Bible says the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, that man was alive, and that the life he has is bios, biological life, the same life that all other lower forms have. I used scriptures to establish and to strengthen my assertion. I showed us that God did not breathe into any cattle of the field, but they are all alive. God did not breathe into any fish of the sea, they are all alive. God did not breathe into any bird of the air, but they are all alive. So the breath that enters man is not to quicken life as in biological expression of existence. No, that breath is to quicken the zoe inside man, so that although you have a life in the blood, in fact, I showed us in Leviticus chapter 17, the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood, meaning that this particular bodily existence, this your body, its own life is inside the blood. And so if anything is able to attack your blood, it will attack your flesh. It will attack the life that is hosted in your flesh. Bios is easily attacked when anything attacks your blood, because bios is the biological life. And I showed us that the same way you see a goat, a pig, a monkey, just living their life, doing what they feel like doing part time, that is how man would have lived if God did not supply a superior life that gives him a higher cadre of existence. I showed us that the way a goat wakes up in the morning and begins to eat till night, that's how man would have been living. The way a chicken just goes around from morning till night looking for what to eat, that is how man would have lived if God did not breathe the breath of life into his nostrils. It is that breath that gives man a superior purpose for life. It's that breath that gives man a higher reason for existence. If you remove that breath, he will fall back into bios, the same kind of life that lesser animals have. And this is how the carnal man lives. He lives for pleasure. He lives only doing what he feels like doing. He cannot keep pace with the instructions of God, because he will always be living for pleasure. This is why the carnal man cannot obey God. In fact, the heart of a carnal man is disposed against the instruction of God. In fact, that carnal man is at enmity with God, because everything God speaks, the carnal mind will perpetually gravitate towards pleasure, towards comfort, towards ease. And so, having established these things, I began to show us that what Adam lost, what God called death, what God meant by you will die when you eat this particular fruit, is that you will lose this breath that quickened the life of God on your inside. And when you lose that life, you will fall back into bios, into the mundane form of existence. And Adam lived in that form for 930 years. So in Genesis chapter 5 verse 3, the same Adam that nobody could tell his age in the days where Zoe was the platform upon which he found his existence, the days where the life of God still tabernacled within him, nobody could tell his age. He was ageless. The way you cannot put an age to that life that was inside him cannot be regulated by time. But the moment he lost that life, his existence began to be measured by time. So in Genesis 5:3, the Bible says Adam lived 130 years. Now they can read his age. And begat a son in his own likeness, after his own image. Adam was made in the image of God. Genesis 1:26. Let us form man in our image, after our likeness. Adam fell. Adam has not been restored. Adam started procreating seeds in this new fallen image and this new fallen likeness. So we were all born depleted of our true identity, depleted of our true capacities. So the reason for scriptures, like, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, meaning nobody came with the glory that was ordained for man from the beginning. Everybody was born deficient. Everybody was born like something that has lost its estate. So when you see anybody trying to become effective in the flesh, I always give this illustration. You are like a scientific calculator in the hand of a market woman. They are using you to do Maggi plus pepper plus oil, but your capacity is more than that. In the fallen realm, using BIOS, you can find one or two other purposes for your life. It's like carrying a phone and going to the application of calculator inside the phone. The phone has a calculator, but the phone is not a calculator. You can use calculator in the phone, but the phone is bigger than a calculator. The phone has a touchlight, but the phone is not a touchlight. If you go and buy a touchlight, you will see that both this phone and the touchlight can both give you light, but if you compare the phone to that touchlight, it would have reduced the value of the phone. Because beyond the capacity to bring illumination, this phone can establish connection. This is the only thing you can discover about yourself in the fallen realm. Some of you can see that your beauty is something else. When you stand in front of the mirror, you are intoxicated by your reflection. You may start trying to build a career. You are most likely going to start building a career for yourself in the perceived area of strength you found inside this fallen realm. A lady told me that her ordination is to lead men into kingdom. And I said, okay, so how do you go about it? She said it's her beauty that God gave her. That when boys are asking her out, she'll start, you know, as they're talking to her, asking her out, asking for number, she'll be walking towards the church. Then before you know it, all of them will now be in church together. And then I said, wow. Hey. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. God cannot use your flesh. Your flesh cannot add to the labors of Zion. If there is anything your flesh is particular about, is to propagate corruption. You will soon become very conscious that actually you are not the only beautiful girl. Satan has 1,001 candidates who are wreaking havoc on a daily basis. You, your own, they escort you to church. Some people took them to abattoir. Hello. This is a lamentation. Many men die because they did not know. They didn't know that there are. Listen, look. I know you are laughing. I know you are laughing. But they didn't know that there are special envoys deployed with unique assignments. They know personally that. Can I ask you a question? Can I? Why do you think a human being will throw caution to the wind, abandon contemplation for posterity, and decide to open their body and be totally naked from head to toe and engage in sexual intercourse with another human being, and they record two of them in a camera and upload it on the internet and never forget, so that somebody somewhere that is now having natural appetite for sex. Sex itself is not the sin, because God made sex. Are we together? It is exploring sex outside the provision of God. That's where sin is. Just as making money is not a sin, it is exploring gain outside the provision of kingdom. That's where the sin is. Are we together? So this is what Satan does. It takes time to equip people with a saint mentality. It's only in the kingdom that we don't have people who live for one assignment, and the way Jesus will say, my bread is to do the will of he that sent me and to finish it. The way you hear Jesus say, I must walk the walk of he that sent me. It's a sent mentality. He was not trapped in the web of distraction. This is the prison house where many a man were locked up. They are locked up in a wave of impulses. From the impulse of light to the impulse of sound. The moment they want to gather themselves into any destiny moment, the devil will trigger something again. Either the light gate or the sound gate. Something will come again to steal your attention. Many of you, your grave is your mobile phone. That's where you were buried. You didn't know yet. You don't know yet. That's where they sentence you. You will hold it like this. You will chat. You will go and browse. You will go and scroll. You will go and just be checking pictures. And then you will stay there for 4 or 5 hours. Eventually you will sleep helplessly like a creature. A creature that is laden with so much weight. Have you seen people who slept with their phone like this? Eh? It's a report card of captivity. When spirits look at you, they say, he's not in charge. You don't even have the capacity to say, it's time to sleep. Let me keep the phone. You held it like this till you died. If you wake up in the morning and the first thing that enters your soul is, where did I keep that phone again? You are under attack. Actually, your whole existence has been trapped in a virtual realm. There's a world, spirits. Why? You see, you don't know the way they trap men's existence. You will be gaining a sense of importance by the number of likes you are getting, number of comments you are getting. You cannot wait to run there. There's a release. There's a release of endorphin. It makes you feel loved. It makes you feel appreciated. Like you are building a reputation there. Meanwhile, all the friends you have there are virtual friends. You have 50,000 friends, but nobody can show up for you in the day of trouble. They want to trap your existence in that pseudo realm. You will think you are living, but they locked you up somewhere. That's why you have many ladies under depression. Because that realm, they have their standard for what is acceptable as beauty. So you see somebody who is created in the glory, in the image of God, she cannot have peace. All kinds of photo editing apps. Sometimes when you see the virtual version of you and then people meet the real version of you, they will walk and pass you under pressure. The funny part is that this infirmity is a pandemic. It has infected brothers too. Brothers. I saw a picture of a brother. He did like this. You know this pumping of your cheeks that ladies do? I don't know why they do it, child. But the brother did like this and also did like this. I now said, wait, what happened to this son of Adam? It's a web. The attempt is to detain your existence. So that before you are conscious, your choice here is spent. It is spent under the web of distraction. Any day you want to become conscious and say, what have I been doing with my life? Look, what have I done with the past 1 year? When they see that you are trying to enter spiritual consciousness, they open another channel of distraction again. So for years, you will come out in the morning, you will sleep in the night, but you cannot actually tell what you have done with 4, 5, 6. Let me give you 1 minute, wherever you are. Please, check. What did you do? What did you do with 2024? If you cannot pinpoint one thing that you pushed violently and intentionally, I'm not talking about something you are trying to make work, it did not work. If there are no clearly laid out purpose, a vision that you pursued deliberately with 2024, even if you achieved it or not, notwithstanding, but that you knew you gave yourself wholly, brother, you are under attack. Take 1 minute wherever you are and tell the Lord, let the grip of distraction. The grief of destruction is like a demonic drumbeat. They play it over a generation. So that we are dancing. We are dancing, entertained by impulses of darkness. There's no end to the insatiable appetite of fornication. There's no end to the insatiable appetite for personal aggrandizement. You continue to be living year in, year out, until the ceiling of your appearing elude you. There are realms of warfare in the kingdom. There are realms of warfare in this kingdom. For those of you whose heart pants to keep pace with the movement of God, the highest among the realms of warfare is the war of destruction. Not even sin, not disobedience. Disobedience is the first layer. When you overcome disobedience, they draw you again into pleasures. Pleasures open doors and breakthroughs. Your own temptation is no longer outright disobedience. They open a door so that your only temptation now is to go out of alignment. Lack of alignment. The temptation of a good man is a good thing. The third layer of warfare is destruction. Destruction. They know they cannot stop your body from entering church. They know they cannot stop your feet from entering the hall. But let's see how your mind can stay inside that place of encounter. So your body is always at the holy place, but your mind journeys by demonic impulses. Oh brother, guard your heart with all diligence. Guide it. Because out of it are the issues of life. He said to his servant, I do nothing without thy mind. If God shows up on your mind is not available. Satan knows that the span of attention of the average young man, the average young woman, is just 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, they are distracted. If you are in sin, they know your conscience will be like an alarm system, triggering and insisting for restoration, for restitution, for repentance, so that you come back to salvation. If you are in sin, your conscience is an alarm system that alerts you that you are not right with God. But if you are distracted, you don't know. Years will just accrue. Weeks will become months. Months will become years. Years will become a lifetime. So the whole of your life is spent in a web. I have this small glass bowl in my house. So I bought one small fish. When I put the fish in the glass bowl, every morning when I wake up, I go and take a little scoop from the fish meal and I drop a little for it, and he eats and you need to see joy. In the fish's mind, he's living his best life. In the fish's mind, what else do I need? In the fish's mind, can you imagine only me have all this space to myself? He does not know that the totality of his existence is inside a glass bowl. There are many sides of life he will never know. There are many experiences to life he will never know. But because of the small peanut I give him every morning, he's fulfilled. This is where sons die. Men who have paid the price to resist rebellion, fight disobedience out of their vessel. Satan comes with a new package. It's called distraction. So there are years where your fight, your affront from the kingdom of darkness is outright resistance. They want to collide with you and cut you off. When they try for a while and they see that you get more violent by the day, and they see that none of their weapon prosper, they will re-strategize. This time, they didn't come with brute strength. They didn't come with violence. They came to negotiate their way into your destiny. In this particular part of your warfare, Satan will start opening doors for you. Oh, did I not share the story with you guys? The prophecy came over this land. Many of you knew what television was like some years ago. It was known as a hub of corruption. When you talk television, it's negativity people talk about. When we started ministry in this land, people started pitying us. But the light will shine in darkness. The darkness will comprehend it now. From the same small television, the world can hear you. So it begins to become clear that your location is not your challenge. In fact, if you check the parameters that causes for effective manifestation, location is not one of it. Are we together? See what he said to Jeremiah, and that's where we draw three parameters from. Three parameters. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, first, number one, I knew you. Meaning that my relationship with God did not start inside time. Meaning that whether men accept, embrace, recognize, love me or not, I have an eternal fellowship from a realm that transcends time. And the meaning for my life is older than time. And that I was already born because there was a need for me in the earth. So God says, I knew you, number one. Meaning that if ancients gather, you too, you have a stake in that assembly. Because it's not when your father asked your mother out. It's not when they conceived you that your existence started. It is in Jesus, the last Adam, that we found out details that are concealed in the first. Because inside the first Adam, there are many things we could not study because his developmental process was truncated by the rebellion Satan brought into creation. So we will need to now study the last Adam to truly understand man. What did God have in mind when he fashioned man? It is in the last Adam we will find out that actually he existed in the fellowship of the Trinity as the Word. So if you wanted to trace him in his pre-incarnated identity, you would have found him as the Word of God. So when he enters time, the Bible just told us it is that Word that became flesh. Guess what? You too, you are the Word of God that became flesh. Because anything we can see in him, that is what we are. His journey started by showing us from the past. If you look at the progression of Revelation, the Apocalypse, you will see that Revelation did not, because if you hear the word Revelation, it looks like it's talking about the future. Revelation started addressing matters that are older than the foundation of the earth. Matters that no prophetic sight captured. He began to speak about matters that are reserved, hidden and sealed. Then it built to the present. Then it advanced into the future. Jesus is not the only Word of God that became flesh. The only reason why you were born to the family of Ogebed is because there is a prayer point. There is a cry. There is a need. There is a petition that was submitted from that family. And the only response to that petition is a prophecy that entered time. That prophecy, a body will be prepared for that prophecy. Because for prophecy to begin to actually have the opportunity to interact in the world of men, you must have the legality, the ticket to operate in the world of men is a human body. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, he says, a body hast thou prepared for me. There is already me. You only prepared a body for me. I am older than time. The difference between you and Jesus, the difference between me and John the Baptist, is that these two guys, they still have knowledge of their pre-incarnated conversation. John was saying out to the hearing of men that the one who sent me told me that he upon whom I will see the Spirit descend upon like a dove, he is the one. John remembered the assignment, the particular purpose they gave him. He remembered the description, the details that were spoken from the studios of eternity. So he still remembered conversation that happened in the eternal realm before he was born. For somebody who is doubting, I'll give you another scripture. John and Jesus came near themselves in the wombs of their respective mother. They have not even met physically yet. The babies began to leap for joy. They already recognized themselves. Their spiritual discernment was activated. How did John know that is Mary's voice? It's not Jesus that spoke, it's Mary that spoke to Elizabeth. How did John know that this is the woman that carries his master? Because they remembered eternal conversation. You, as they gave birth to you, the flesh swallowed up every message. He buried every conversation. The resonating factor of your life is buried. So God will need to send vessels to come and reiterate, echo things that can bring you into resonance and say, but I feel like this is what I am. So sometimes we open scripture and we are teaching and somebody found himself in one verse and say, yes, I found myself. Because actually in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7, the Bible says, lo, I come in the volume of books. It means your identity is captured in the books. Your role is in the books. You will not even know until the day a messenger, an angel, stirs the water. That's what the whole mystery of the pool of Bethesda is about. That at a certain season, an angel of the Lord will go and trouble the water and stir the water. The word angel means messenger. At a certain season, a messenger will stir the water. The water is the word. He will stir the word. The same word you have been looking at since that didn't make any sense, any meaning to you. When a messenger handles it and trouble it, suddenly you will see yourself. On that day, you too, you can carry a scripture and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. You know what it means? Jesus is saying, I have proven I am the practical fulfillment of this Bible. Don't wait for this prophecy again. I have fulfilled it. Now, do you know how many prophecies are hanging? Because vessels who are sent cannot resonate with their eternal instructions. The moment they enter time, darkness throws a weight on them as another instruction. So in your flesh, it's another economy. In your spirit, another economy. If you want to start picking the signals of the conversations you and God had before your existence in time began, fast a lot. Fast a lot. Mortify your body. Beat it under. And then you will begin to hear the conversations that are captured only within your spirit. You will begin to feel the body inside your spirit. You will start hearing the yearning of your spirit, man. You will start feeling the pain, the weight, the grievance in your spirit. You can now follow that pain, that weight, that body, that desire in your spirit. You journey with that desire. You will find your way in destiny. Actually, the map to your destiny is inside your spirit. It's in your spirit. But you cannot draw from that map until you mortify the flesh. The flesh will make the spirit of no import. It will deaden the broadcast of the spirit so that you are not able to pick signals. I speak life. I speak spirit. I don't speak English. I speak life. I speak spirit. I don't speak English. For he has made my tongue. Hey,
Somebody will journey. Can somebody journey backwards?
Listen. When a man is born, a system is intelligently deployed, calculatively, to engage you, keep you occupied until your choice years are spent, so that you are not ever, ever found in your true identity. From age 2, age 3, the moment a child gains some level of consciousness, they carry a child, force him into creche. In creche, they start bombarding your mind with cartoons, with songs. A, B, C, D. And then they play you 1, 2, 3. So you labor, and you get a good handle of A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3. Then they carry another knowledge. Because A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3 is only a prerequisite to enter higher layers of knowledge. Without A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3, you cannot read. So it's just foundation they are giving. Sometimes when I see a little child, you know, they sew oversized trouser for them. Their uniform is usually bigger than them. A small child with a big trouser and, you know, with a small shoe and their socks. What comes to my mind is, a new journey has started. He is most likely going to be on this matter for the next 25 years. 25 years. Every morning you wake up. And the knowledge cosmos is only interested in giving you is not the knowledge of the Holy One. They want you to discover yourself in the world, but they are not prepared to help you discover yourself in God. So in the world, you will find different identities you can come into, but all will fall short of your true capacity. So when you finish the crash class, they put you in nursery. You do nursery 1, 2, 3, they put you in primary. Primary 1 to 6, they put you in secondary. You do 1 to 6 years again. Then you write jam. If you are smart, you get admission straight. If you are not, you stay for 2 years. After that, you enter the university. If it's a public school, 2 extra years of maybe strike or lecturer's excesses. So you have 6 years approximately to battle with in the university. After that, you go for NYSC, 1 compulsory year. That's if they mobilize you on time. Are we together? After that, they give you a certificate, meaning that we now want to give you the legal and the authorization to be able to interact with another realm of interface, which is called the labor market. Now, in the labor market, you are not guaranteed. You go and start from the scratch again, the way you started from the scratch, from crash. Are we together? So As you are coming with your head hot like this, they gave you a job at entry level. So you have to build your career. After 35 years, remember, you use 28 to 29 years to secure the credential that will help you enter the labor market. Now, with that credential, you now started a new journey from entry level. And before you now enter the role of a boss, you have given maybe 28 to 30 years into the job, you became a director. When you do the math, you will see how old you are in time already. Do you understand why I'm reiterating it to you, that man must secure the knowledge of the Holy One? The reason is that as you are growing in your job, don't forget your work. Your work is the purpose of He that sent you into time. That is your work. I must walk the walk of He that sent me. You are sent for a work. A job can give you your daily bread. A job can bring resources to your hand, but you must find a way to marry work and job together. work and business together. Marry them together. You know, time is a body. I just looked at the clock now, and the clock was frowning. We will have to continue. You see, when I came today, my purpose is to come and teach you how to grow in the anointing. That's what I came for. But when I started making the introduction, it became obvious that there are matters of preparation that the Holy Ghost wanted to establish. Have we been blessed? Those people who didn't answer, I don't know what is wrong, but may God have mercy on us. Is it like I described your life? That's why you are very angry. Look for God. Find Him. See, let me tell you the way forward. Even if you are able to, by the will of man, by the arm of the flesh, by hard work, by diligence, when you do all and you alienate God, there are two things that will actually orchestrate a season of woe for you. Number one is that you only gained physically, but your soul did not nourish throughout that whole experience. And so for you, the scripture will hold weight. What shall it profit a man if he gains the world and loses his soul? Number two, you are most likely not going to succeed without fraternizing with an altar. So whether you are born again or you are not, at some point in your quest for success, you will need to strike covenant with a spirit. This is why there are realms of wealth you cannot enter until it is entrusted by a spirit. Because those realms of wealth is power. This one is not I have car again. This one is not I have house again. This one is not I can eat anything I want. This one is that with your account balance you can change the fate of men. You can move seasons out of people's life. You can look at a person like this, and with one viral, the person will kneel down and be rolling on the ground. Something they had imagined that it would take 30 years, you squeezed it into 5 minutes. So for you, you can compress time. That's what wealth is. Power. Power. That type, spirit will vet that realm. You can't use hard work and enter. It is because of that kind of realm. They say the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the swift. Your natural advantage will not bring you there. You must be vetted. A spirit must bring you in. And your acceptance is based on a covenant. Some people enter based on the covenant that through them, corruption must be propagated in the realm. So because of that wealth that is given to them, they must live waywardly. They must continue to put people in very wayward situations. They must sleep around so that the wealth will be sustained, because that is the covenant that brought them into that realm of power. Guess what? If God wants to bring you there too, a covenant must be enacted. You see this thing you do that you just come and say, there is something that makes me come into your presence. My help. You don't want to sing it. Don't worry. See, a day will come when he starts considering you, when he starts contemplating on the possibility of drawing you into sovereign wealth. That's where money becomes a tool of war. That's where you hear that they said no church should meet. You go and buy a street. They say this house is not for sale. You double the money times two. The people will say, okay, bring it. Before you know it, by power, you bully your way into system. He will test you. It is in that season, because he begins to consider you, to draw you into deeper places. That same you that cries, my helper, there is something. He will withdraw the dimension of Ebenezer from your life. You will look for help, you will not see. The places where you had succor, everywhere will dry. Then they will be watching your lips, whether you will curse God. whether your faithfulness is based on his supply. What they want to kill on that day, what they want to destroy, is the grip of mammon from your soul. They wanted to make sure they establish you, whether you are bound or you are based. Your allegiance is unperturbed. The moment you pass that test, you are qualified to handle sovereign wealth, because for you, your behavior is not influenced by abundance or by lack, because you have gone through it and you were faithful. Can we groan for a minute? Kapatakai, skepetakepetakepakatai, skapapapapapai, retetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetet
up to your surgical work in me. Till I see like you see. Consume me, consume me, open me up to your surgical work in me. Till I see like you see. Consume me, open me up to your surgical work in me. Till I see like you see. Consume me, open me up to your surgical work in me. Till I see like you see. I want to feel like you feel. Oh, I want to feel like you feel. I want to know like you know. Consume me, consume me, open me up. Surgical work in me. Till I see like you see. I want to see like you see. I want to feel like
you. Can you cry for an encounter? Can you yearn for intimacy? Bring me out of distractions. Draw my feet out of the web of distraction. Draw me into deeper places.
Throw me deeper to realms I can't find my way out. Oh Yahweh, keep on drawing me in. Father, open up your spirit on me. Take me deeper to realms I can't find my way out. Oh Yahweh, keep on drawing.
I would waste upon your altar. I would waste following you. At the end, that's all the world will say of me. There's so many things to follow, but I leave following you. Be like calling death, I am yours. I would waste upon your altar. I would waste following you. At the end, that's all the world would say of me. There's so many things to follow, but I'd leave following you. Be like calling death, I am. Through the waters I will go, if it leads me.
Through the fire I will go, if you're running to you. There's no other life for me, I'm committed to you. This is all there.
Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. There is liberty. Where is that disease? Hey, that won't obey the name. The chains of Egypt's jail, cannot disobey the name. Where is that disease? Where is that affliction? Where is that cause? The bars of Egypt jail the Spirit of the Lord is here. He is moving in this atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. He is moving in this atmosphere. The glory of the Lord is here. He is moving in this atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. He is moving in this atmosphere. Just as you are, that's who I am. You are the mighty God. I am a mighty man, just as you are. That's who I am. You are the mighty God.
I am the mighty man.
Listen, every foul spirit causing grievance, causing pain, causing inconveniences, besieging your life with all forms of affliction, we bind their operations and I break their hold over the lives of God's people now in the name of Jesus. I declare the era, the hold, the government of affliction over the lives of God's people be broken now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke enchantments. I rebuke curses, charms and amulets. I bind their operations over your lives in the name of Jesus. your working place, at your business space, every place the feet, your feet tread, that evil men continue to bring their altar into participation where warfare has been hosted. Every form of affliction, every form of resistance, every form of arrows shot at you on the account of your normal life, on the account of your day-to-day activity, we reverse every weapon now and we send it back to the places they are channeled from in the name of Jesus. Today we stand upon the word of the Lord. He that digeth a pit will fall into it. Anybody that rolls a stone against you, to him it will return. In this week, the vengeance of God will fall upon the wicked. Everywhere your name is mentioned for evil, the judgment of God comes upon them. We challenge every legal ground the enemy has used to occasion captivity, occasion affliction in your life. Blaming the works of your ancestor, blaming the labors of your father, blaming the mistakes of generation before you. Whatever platform affliction is registered upon, we stand upon a higher reason. We stand upon a higher argument. By the blood of Jesus, we rescue you from every ungodly narrative in the name of Jesus. Now the favor of God rests upon you. And everything you put your hands to do in righteousness, it prospers now in the name of Jesus. As you go into your week, when the reckless riders of wickedness begin to go around shedding blood and wasting lives, I prophesy over you. He said, your going out and your coming in is preserved. I prophesy you shall not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. And I speak over you, 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand side. No evil shall by any means hurt you. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, for we have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Tonight, receive the blessing of this house. Go into your week and prosper. In the name of Jesus. Can somebody shout a believing amen? One more time, can somebody shout a believing amen? Give Jesus a shout of praise.
Transformation is sure by the word of God. To be a kingdom partner with AMI as we advance God's agenda, contact us on 080-35-234-762 or send us an email to anakazopartnership@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anakazomissioninternational.ami. Join us on our Telegram channel at Anakazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233-26767-6055. +233-26767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.